I could recognize that you were incredible, but the thing is, even if you're not into theater, you're also a literal Disney princess. Like, who didn't grow up singing Reflections from Mulan? And like all of the stuff from Princess Jasmine, like it's crazy.
Yesterday was the first time you and I had gotten to ever meet each other in person, but here's the funny thing.
Okay.
Our theaters in London were beside each other, so I don't understand why our paths never crossed. She's got way more energy. She's got, you have a lot of energy.
I was trying. I'm like, I feel like I have to turn it on, but I'm very like 0-100. So if I'm...
Oh, so there's nothing in between.
No, there was zero in between. So it's either... Oh. And I feel like when I met you, I was so nervous as well.
Okay.
So I was, because as you saw, I was literally shaking when I came to speak, and I was like, "Hi, I'm shaking," and I said, "Sorry, let me just breathe for a second," and then I took an inhale, and then had a little quick chat. But you're very lovely. I think us Asian performers and Asian actors currently, like, we all look up to you so much.
Aww.
And you have been such a trailblazer in so many senses. But also, it's like I feel like I wasn't there for the full journey and how you ended up going into like. Musical theater. I mean, I guessed it was Saigon.
Well, Saigon wasn't the first thing. I started performing on stage professionally. I was only 7.
Oh.
I was very, very young.
Wow.
I was doing that in Manila. And when I came here the first time at 13 or 14, I'm not exactly sure which, it was for an ASEAN cultural, like, arts music exchange. And I remember Anita Sarawak was one of the representatives of Singapore. When she walked into a room, it was just one of those things.
It where was like you saw.
You see her, mm-hmm. and then it's almost like the room filled with perfume.
Ooh.
That kind of presence.
Wow.
And there was this grace with strength. See all these incredible Asian performers, all different kinds, and showing off their cultures. And I still continued performing when I was in Manila, but it was Saigon that really just kicked things open.
So who were your inspirations when you were growing up?
Oh.
Because, like, we all look up to you. Like, who did... Like, where...
Who
like,
did I look up
yeah,
to?
Yeah, who did you look up to? And, like, did you ever get to meet any of them? Like, what was the vibe
a few.
There?
As far as Asian performers, there wasn't a whole lot that I could refer to besides performers in the Philippines, but I did get to see various things, and it was just not so much that their faces looked like mine, but that, oh, this is possible. People like Rita Moreno in West Side Story, Miyoshi Umeki, and Nancy Kwan, Patrick Uriarte, and Patrick was also in The King and I. And then later I find out he's Filipino, and I didn't know, because I didn't know. And I'm like, oh my God, one of us has made it.
Yes.
And this is film. Everybody all over the world will be able to see this. It gave a lot of folks permission to start getting into it. So by the time I got to New York, because in London, Cameron had brought on so many folks from Manila to be in that initial Miss Saigon production.
Yeah.
But in New York, there were so many folks already working. Folks of Asian descent that were working regularly on Broadway. Japanese American, Chinese American, Filipino American, going through the craziness of auditions and the shows. And as for folks to look up to, I think at that moment when I was doing Saigon in New York, it was literally the people around me
wow.
that were doing this, who were already, you know, I wouldn't say hardened, because they were still all very hopeful and wonderful, but folks who were like Broadway professionals. By the time I left, certainly I was exhausted and burned out and whatever, but it was the folks that I was doing the show with that made it worth doing, you know, because they were wonderful and incredibly supportive and kind. And I try to instill this in my son. So
is your son also a performer? Sorry.
Yeah, we did Woods together in Manila. He was Jack.
No, that's wonderful.
On my own, pretending he's beside me. All alone, I walk with him till morning.
you've told me that you've watched me and that you weren't into musical theater initially. Mm-hmm. What made it your thing?
So I watched you when I was younger, because obviously everyone has that 10th anniversary and the 20th right. anniversary, like DVDs lying around. And I was too young to really understand, because it's quite a full show, Elaine.
It's a lot.
But then the thing is, it's like, I saw your face when you sang On My Own, and I was like, an Asian. I was like, what's going on here? Literally, like, as a little kid. But at the time, I was very into, like, pop, R&B, all of that stuff. But the thing is, even if you're not into theater, you're also a literal Disney princess. Like, who didn't grow up singing Reflections from Mulan? And, like, all of the stuff from Princess Jasmine. Like, it's crazy. So I had a period where I was performing, and my first performance was when I was 5. My first ever vocal coach was my father.
Aww.
So you'll meet Uncle Kev at some point. Okay. I mean, he's probably probably gagging. Like, he's desperate to meet you. He is a dentist by profession.
Okay.
But he has a phenomenal voice. He was in a bunch of a cappella groups, like, when he was in church.
Oh, that is hard.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so when I popped out and I said, I want to sing, he was like, okay. He was like, well, if you're going to sing, you better be really good at it. I don't use, all of the techniques that he did teach me, but I think that level of detail is something that I always kind of aspire towards. Okay. And then I was also doing competitive cheerleading at the time.
Oh my God.
No, I know. I love it though. I still do love it. Actually, oddly enough, really helped.
Oh.
Because you scream so much that you learn how to, like, support and scream naturally, like completely naturally. And I was doing that concurrently with performing. And then I just threw all of my focus into that. I ended up auditioning to go to the UK and I got into Mountview.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Had an amazing time there.
And just kept auditioning.
Yeah. And I just kept doing things, just kept singing, which I'm not complaining.
No.
Yeah.
When was the last time you got to perform in a show here in Singapore?
2023. And yeah.
Not here too long ago.
Not too long ago.
What show was it?
Into the Woods. I know. I feel like I'm like following after you. I'm like,
I love him, but every day I'm learning all my life. I've only been pretending.
The thing about On My Own that makes it incredibly special for me personally, it's the song I auditioned for Miss Saigon with. I think the entire creative team, they knew that I was obsessed. When I got cast, it just felt incredibly special. And it was such an honor to do it because I love the show so much. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, are we going to be able to pull this off? And I don't think a person of color had ever been cast before in that role, in any role.
No.
In that show.
No.
So this was going to be like the test run. So I was going to be the guinea pig for this experiment.
Gosh.
And, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure that I did the song well. And they put me through my paces with regards to what is this kid? She's a kid.
She is.
What is this kid going through as she sings this song? And thankfully, there are so many movies with teenagers going through this unrequited love where they see the object of their affection go off with another girl. And so there are enough examples in mass media.
Yes.
So it's not like I had to pluck her out of the air. But when that song happens, it's like magic happens around her, especially given the imagery from the lyric. How to keep it consistent every night. It's erase at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And start as if you've never thought these thoughts before,
mm-hmm.
which I think is something that's a little bit challenging, mm-hmm. the consistency for a long run. You think the thoughts and you sing the song and then you die.
Yeah, and you're like, but then you get 45 minutes off stage while you're like,
you get a shower.
Eating dinner. Shower.
There was
shower,
a book. I luxuriated in a shower because there was also so much of
so much, so much blood.
So much in blood.
In the blood.
What is it feeling like for you to be able to bring this here?
I think that there's two aspects of this, because obviously I've had a lot of time to rest in terms of not playing Eponine, and I hadn't touched her in like a little bit of time.
Right.
During that time, I played Eliza Hamilton, which is a completely different role.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what a wonderful, incredible experience. And I feel like I grew so much in that contract.
Right.
But having that experience and then kind of getting to step back into Eponine, I just feel like I just found more detail. Like my Eponine grew as I grew. I think the other aspect is obviously it's amazing being back home. As I told you, yeah. My dog sat on my face the other day. Like I woke up and I was like, what is, I was like, oh, it's my dog Marshmallow. Getting to be back home, getting to see my family, who I don't often get to see. One of my sisters had actually never ever seen me play Eponine, not from the UK tour, not from the West End. She'd never seen it. And yeah, and that is obviously, like, this role is so special to me. So the fact that she could see it, she was, like, tearing up. She was crying yesterday. She was like, Matthew, you were so good. And I was like, oh. Yeah, she's such a sweetheart.
It's only in my mind that I'm talking to myself and not to him. Watch your mother.
What would my pre-show rituals do? It would depend on the show.
Oh.
Depends on the day. Mm-hmm. Depends on what's going on.
Oh.
So, last weekend, BTS's album,
oh my gosh,
Arirang, just dropped.
It broke records, didn't it? They were saying that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it's ridiculous. And our tour manager sitting over there is also
with
a massive fan. Just listen to their music all the time anyway. It's a great way to erase my head. I found them over the pandemic and it just brought me so much joy. So I stuck with them. Last weekend, they had a Netflix drop.
I thought you posted that on your Instagram. I was like, oh, I was like.
It started at 7 o'clock. My show was at 8.
Oh.
So, and I timed the warm up. But wait, I moved everything back by 15 minutes so that I could end right as that show was about to start.
My God.
It was important and I have priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure of that, turned on my iPad. So that was my pre-show ritual. The minute the show ended, I got up out of my chair, marched on stage and started doing my own show.
How do you do that?
It was easy.
Oh my God.
Because I had so much adrenaline and happiness. I had the dopamine.
I mean, I love things. I don't know if I love anything that much to be able to like shift my entire schedule to like make room for and then to just go straight out.
Straight
like,
into
I
it.
Feel like I'd still need like 2 seconds of like recovery time if I'm like, okay, maybe. Yeah. You're like, no, you're like, absolutely, like BTS or nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.